Welcome out there to another awesome and riveting episode of The Album Argument. I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeremy.
And we are so happy to have you with us. Jay, really quickly, what is The Album Argument?
The Album Argument is a weekly podcast where two friends get together. We swap albums ahead of time, I should say.
Yeah, we do.
And then we get together for live reactions of our picks for the best and worst off of said album.
Yeah, and my picks are generally the proper ones and yours are generally the wrong ones.
Yeah, that's when people join us in the argument online on our social media pages and they say, Ryan, you're crazy.
They have never said that.
Well... Oh, maybe that's just...
They have never said I'm crazy.
Is that my wife just making me feel better?
It's possible.
Jeremy, you're correct. No. She doesn't actually say that, but...
No, you're not correct. Sorry. She actually texts me and tells me how correct I am.
Oh, she says, Jeremy's actually crazy. But
just kidding. Hey, Morgan.
But yeah, we're, 77 episodes in,
something
right?
Like that.
So
yeah.
Almost 2 years, almost coming up on our 2 year anniversary.
Are we really?
Yeah. Aww. So we're in March. So I think we started like back in July of 22.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So almost 2 years in. So yeah, we cover mostly rock albums. We don't say, you know, that's not our, that's not in our charter, as we might say.
No, but it's our wheelhouse from what we've
background.
Grown out.
Yeah,
you know. So,
but we've done everything from, let's say, a Dashboard Confessional a few weeks ago.
Yep.
If you've never listened, we did Dashboard a long time ago as well. To I don't know, what do we do? Olivia Rodrigo. Sometimes
yeah, we've
I still
done
get
that.
Some
yeah.
laughs about that.
Good record.
It's a great record. We did, you know, some folk, some Michael Jackson. That was one of your favorites, I know. And then we did something heavy last week like Soundgarden.
Can I share something funny with you about one of the records we've done?
Yeah,
in the past?
Yeah, very funny.
Fleetwood Mac, right?
Oh, well, that's another one. Yes, classic.
Fleetwood Mac. What was the album that we covered?
Rumours.
Rumours.
The British Rumours.
My son loves that record.
Oh, yeah, well, Eli.
Loves
he's got
that
good
record.
Taste. Yes.
And I just...
Along with Adele. He loves Adele.
Ideally.
I mean, that's we've done some classic ones like The Stranger by Billy Joel and Rumours, Fleetwood Mac. So, you know, we try to do everything, right? But sometimes we just bring it back to some of the music we grew up on, and that's
definitely this record right here.
A segue to this album. And I think this was an album you gave to me, but this was an album I remember as we were kids, we were like, we've got to beat them to it.
Yeah.
And we never did.
We did not.
I wonder how many other musicians out there think that, too.
Oh, so many. In case you haven't picked up on it, we're talking about the Youngsters' Silverchair.
At the time, Youngsters.
At the time, yeah, Youngsters at the time. Silverchair and their album Frog Stomp, which let's pause and pump the brakes again. We've talked about like really cool band names and album names. They win on both accounts. Like Silverchair, cool band name. Frog Stomp, cool like album title. Apparently the rumor is, or the story is, that Daniel Johns was at a party looking at some random albums, saw the name Frog Stomp as the name of a song, and was like, sweet, I'm gonna call the record this.
Yeah, Frog Stomp, I think it's okay. It's kind of, it could also be like very 70s. I mean, it was like alt rock 90s for them. I will give you the Silverchair. We did Soundgarden last week and Silverchair this week.
Yeah.
Didn't intend to do it that way, but it just kind of fell into that.
Happened.
But those are two of the kind of best band names.
Well, ever. And it kind of goes in line with the March theme. Again, unintentional, but March. This album was released on March 27th of 1995, so almost 30 years ago. It was released here in the United States on Epic, but in everywhere else in the world on a record label called Murmur. Which I guess that's a big record company in Australia where these young gentlemen, young trio of lads were from. When this album was recorded, they were 14 and 15 years old.
Wow.
And I remember like hearing the vocals and just being blown away like, no, this is a soulful man with this voice. No, he's a skinny, tiny, long-haired, blonde 15-year-old kid. A child essentially belting these songs.
And I think musically too, like listening back, like it's not thrash metal guitar solos, but for 14 and 15 year old kids, thinking back to when we played, and I thought I was pretty good and looking back like, okay, I could play the instrument, but to record it, and I should say, okay, anybody can record nowadays, but this was tape.
And this was recorded live in the studio. to catch like their actual sound. It was recorded live in the studio. I think the vocals were done separately, yeah, but sure. You know,
and some overdubs and some overdubs, guitars. But so just thinking of tape, 14, just say teenagers. It's crazy.
Yep. So this record, again, like I said, came out in March of 1995. It was recorded live in studio, as I said. They were originally known, Silverchair was originally known as the Innocent Criminals, which, not a really cool band name.
Good idea to change the name.
Yeah, and I think that actually came from a suggestion. From what I've read many years ago, the record company presented them a list of names, and they're like, pick one from this list. And Silverchair was on there.
Wow.
Which a lot of people are like, well, that's kind of random. But if you ever read C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, Silverchair is like one of the books. Anywho.
And there's some reference, there's some literature references in some of these songs.
This was a record, like I said, recorded live, and it's got flaws throughout the entirety of the album, and they were purposely left in. And that's one of the things that I loved about this record, especially growing up listening to it. I love that it was not perfect. It was not polished. You can hear like this mess up that happens here, or this all of a sudden, this one track on the left side of the headphone, he palm mutes when he wasn't supposed to. And then, you know, one of those things. There was four singles released from this album. Tomorrow, Pure Massacre, Israel Sun, and Shade. And this masterpiece was put together by the three Aussies, Daniel Johns on vocals and guitar, Ben Gillies on drums, but also one of the writers for a lot of the songs, and Chris Janot, who is the bassist. And again, just three lads from Australia.
Crazy.
They if my information is correct, they won a songwriting competition back in Australia, which got them signed and pushed forward. And the song that they won with was the first single from the album, Tomorrow. And I mean, it's a crazy good record. It was produced by Kevin Shirley, also known as Caveman, who we've talked about earlier. He produced Our Lady Peace's Happiness, right?
I think so, yeah.
Just really good record. I would love to hear what you have to say. I personally think that this record is mature for their age, but also immature in other ways. With some of the lyrics and stuff, you could tell like they wanted to be deep, they wanted to have thought into the words, but their lack of experience with life to this point kind of counters some of the words that are being used. And it goes back and forth. Some of the songs are deeper than than I think they even intended, and some of them are just very surface. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of curious to hear what you have to say. I very much looked up to this album as a teenager, as something, as you said, when we were in bands growing up, we could strive to be like. And I we should have made it, but we didn't. We were not as good.
There were many reasons why.
Mostly me. I was a horrible lead singer. Do you remember when I fronted our band?
Yeah, and I tried to sing, and it was bad. I'll speak for myself. I was bad.
I was bad. Jeremy Dubman, tell me, Frog Stomp by Silverchair. What do you think? Best and worst?
Yeah, so great vocals. I think it's great 90s rock tones. I think it just sounds really good still. Like, looking back, I think a lot of bands, you know, for the teenage, maybe musically, you said there's flaws. Like, I don't necessarily hear that. I think the producers, engineers, like, they really captured them to make them sound bigger and better than just, you know, high schoolers at the point.
I mean, that's fine. I'm correct, though, in what I said. And you're actually very wrong right now, but go ahead.
Well, the flaws are there, but the flaws are there. That's fine. But I think
I love the flaws.
You love the flaws. Yeah, that's fine. I'm just saying that it was very well produced, like, in terms of, I'm sure, I don't know, seeing them live at the time, I wonder how they sounded live compared to this. Yeah. Like,
you did get to see them live, though, at some point, didn't you?
Yeah, so it was a few years later. I think it was towards the 98 or 99. They had a big festival here.
Yeah.
And I think it was the third album was probably already out with Anthem for the Year 2000. Neon Ballroom. Yeah, I think they were already playing Anthem for the Year 2000, so that was like 99 or so. So they were already kind of seasoned, so they were good. But I would just say that's studio magic. Not to take away from Silverchair, but I think there was some studio magic that it hides the flaws. They're not so obvious, but and maybe it's just kind of sentimental, thinking back, like we listen to this a lot. So if somebody's listened to this for the first time, you might say, eh, it's okay. It's kind of amateurish, but I think another thought is some people, when I was teaching students, they go, well, so-and-so did it. I go, I don't want to take away from you, but, and I wouldn't say this up to their face, but that's Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
You're no Paul McCartney.
You're not Paul McCartney.
So Daniel Johns, like, he's still Daniel Johns. Like, there's, yeah, he's still a successful songwriter. I don't necessarily like what he's doing now.
No, I don't either.
But Silverchair went on, and they did great stuff. We've talked about some of their later albums, Diorama and Young Modern. Great albums. Totally amazing. Different than this.
I will say that it's kind of nice to see that Silverchair has, like, two different eras to them. But Diorama, if y'all have never listened to that album, that is just an amazing record, and we're gonna have to cover it at some point in time.
Yeah, and I thought Young Modern, I think they could have kept going with that, and then of course they kind of stopped, and he's done his own things. I think we were going to see them at some point too, and then that's when they had to like cancel the tour because they had some like
that was
arthritis or something.
Sometime in 2002, you and I were going to outdoor concert. To see them,
yeah, unfortunately. So, but anyways, yeah, it sounds like the '90s. I mean, great vocals, catchy lines. Israel Sun, Tomorrow, Fault Line, Pure Massacre, Shade. I mean, the first five songs, pretty cool. I think like Side A, let's say, is pretty good. Leave Me Out, it's kind of Metallica-esque. Like, I don't know why I keep going back to that, but it's a slow rocker, but it kind of is like, it's just like a riffer. It just, that one stands out. It doesn't, like, not in a bad way, not in a good way, just doesn't match as much.
Gotcha.
Suicidal Dream is okay. Madman is okay. It's the instrumental. I will say
there is a go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So, well, maybe you're going to say that there's a full lyric version on the extended cut, and they took out the words, and I think it's better for it.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, I think it is. That one works. You might think I would pick the instrumental, but no, I think it works for this type of band, and the instrumentals are okay. Undecided is cool. It's kind of Metallica-esque, but I think that was like a precursor to following Silverchair.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like almost like Diorama-esque in that other one that we were talking about in the middle, the third album.
Neon Ballroom.
Neon Ballroom, thank you. Cicada is kind of cool. Find a Way, that's kind of like the Green Day influence, like pop punk, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's kind of a cool last track. Yep. It doesn't really fit, but I think it's cool. So anyways, it's a good opener album. It's kind of like Foo Fighters' first album. Doesn't really sound like later Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound like later Silverchair, but it works. So songs, you know, that I really like, I think the ones that still stand out, I mean, I think Israel Sun is pretty good. It's a little long. It's kind of slow, but I think that one still stands out. Of course, it starts with the bass, which always helps. Distortion on the bass, clean bass.
Tell us your connection to Israel Sun with the bands.
I think we just played it, right?
It was a staple of one of your bands for many shows.
And I think that's a song now that I think maybe it's cooler to play.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun to play, like kind of some jazz. Listening to it, it's a good song. So I don't know. I guess
it's a good song.
I don't know if that one stood the test of time. Like, it's cool.
Oh,
but
I think it has.
It still sounds good. And I think on its own, it fits. But Tomorrow is really great.
Yeah.
Shade, I think, is a lot better than what I remember. Shade's really cool. That's kind of the quieter song. It's kind of quieter. It gets loud. It's very 90s because it's that quiet, loud Shade. He's giving me a look, but that's not my pick for best and worst. But anyways, if I go for the best, I'm just going to be that one. I'm going to pick the hit Tomorrow.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy. It's got great vocals. I don't know, let alone a 14, 15 year old kid. I don't know many people who could sing this grown people.
Yeah.
It's still super catchy. I just think out of all the songs,
it's like, an amazing song.
This is just the song. It's their Mr. Brightside. It's their Black Hole Sun.
Yeah.
But it's still, compared to every other song, I don't really know what all the lyrics mean. I don't know if it's supposed to mean much. Even when the second chorus comes, it kind of just comes back with the same thing from the first, but it doesn't really blend with what the second verse talked about, or like the pre-chorus. But anyways, song-wise, it's still the best. Tomorrow.
Good. Let's hear it. good times.
It grows. I think it's also, it's okay that the songs, you know, as I listen to this, not a teenager, it's a lot of the songs are kind of depressing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's teenager.
Yeah, teenage angst is real.
And depression and things like that.
When you're a teenager, nobody understands you
right.
or what you're going through. Nobody has lived the life that you have lived. You are seeing the world for what it truly is, and nobody gets it.
And this is the first time anybody's ever thought of anything that you thought of.
You have discovered how the world really is. No one else sees it.
And you still have hair.
Yeah.
And you can eat whatever you want.
And the irony is real in this.
So Tomorrow just stands alone in that it's the best finalized song compared to everything else. Like the other songs are good, but mm-hmm. I think this one, of course, this one wins it.
Oh, yeah.
But it kind of stands apart in that this kind of, I almost wish like they had a whole album that was this.
They do though.
Yeah,
they do.
So, but it's kind of a little bit more positive, but not, it's kind of hidden message. Yeah, the other ones are just like, there's a pure massacre. And it sounds like a pure massacre. Suicidal Dream. And it sounds like Suicidal Dream. Like the other ones are very literal.
Well,
and
this, I will get to that.
So this, I alluded to this, I think last week, right? With Soundgarden.
Yeah.
Soundgarden and a lot of the bands, you know what they're talking about. And sometimes they're literal, but they kind of sneak it in. This is a little too literal. What doesn't stand the test of time for me, and just because we're not in that, like I remember some of those feelings. So that's why I still connect to Tomorrow. It still sounds good.
It still sounds good, yeah.
And Shade, I think, still sounds good, even though it's, and I think that's a little less literal. The one that, and it was very hard.
See, I would argue that.
So we'll throw chairs there. It was hard to choose a song that I thought was the worst because they're all pretty good. But the one, I just had to go with it that I just, today, for me, and maybe a lot of others, I think you'll agree with me, Suicidal Dream is just very literal, not exactly what I want to listen to now. It could have been a narration of somebody else, right? It could have been him.
I think it is him, to be honest.
I like the vocals at the end. Right? Suicidal.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it sounds good. It's kind of interesting that it also gets faster. Like, it's definitely not to a click, so that's kind of more production. I don't know, issue, but I just, if I listen to this album now, and I think most people that are not teenagers, you know, you might listen to Suicidal Dream and say, okay, yeah, I connect with that, but I just, it's not what I want to listen to.
I got you.
So it's my pick for not the best.
Okay.
So one of the best moments on the album, funny enough, I think, is actually in this song.
Yeah.
I still pick it as the not best song, is when he's screaming again, 2/3 into the way of the song, Suicidal Dreams. It fits that. But as we were listening to this and, you know, kind of you're singing along again, Ryan knows all these lyrics, by the way, out there. We need the B-side show of this so we can hear Ryan sing along.
No.
The riff almost sounds like what Limp Bizkit turned into. In a bad way. Like, it just is that kind of, it kind of brings you down. So it's just not what I want to listen to. I even think the instrumental's better. I think everything else is just so strong in a good way that I had to pick something. And Pure Massacre was close, but that one's still
good. Oh, that's
good
a good enough. Song.
That's good, but it's got the toms and things like that. So anyway, so my pick best is Tomorrow, Enough About Me, and worst pick is Suicidal Dream.
Oh, my
Ryan
goodness.
Stroud, you're singing along. Is it a perfect album?
No. No, no, no.
So
no,
what's
no,
your
no.
best and worst?
No, this is a 14, 15-year-old kid album. I mean, let's be real here. Does it hold up? Some of the songs hold up. Not all of them do, but some of them do. I also want to reiterate really quickly that the album did go double platinum. AllMusic had it ranked 4 stars out of 5, which I feel like is a fair ranking even till today. I hope somebody got Baby Daniel John's some psychiatric help back then, because if you're 14 years old and you're screaming about Suicidal Dreams, that's a little bit alarming. Now, as a parent, you know, I'm alarmed by that. As a teenager, I was like, oh, he understands, but, you know, not really.
Going back to your ratings, though, and kind of on the side of this, like, again, it helps that it sounds so good.
Yeah.
And even though he's singing about Suicidal Dreams, like,
yeah,
it doesn't sound like it's recorded. Like we covered Dashboard a few weeks ago. Like quality of those recordings aren't so good. Most
this definitely
bands,
outshines that.
Most bands start off and their first album doesn't sound so good. Things like that. This band is teenagers and the first album sounds great. I don't know if there are demos out there of what these songs sounded like before, I wonder, but
probably not.
I think it helps like a 4 star out of 5 and singing about all these things, like maybe that it does have like a layer of gloss over it just because again, it does when I was saying it has its faults, but it still is well recorded.
Yeah, I agree. I think Israel Sun is a great song. I think it still holds up to today. I would love to see that live. It's just, to me, it's a banger. Like, it's really cool. Tomorrow's a great song. Pure Massacre, awesome. I do like Suicidal Dream. I think it's a good song. Undecided, I think it's cool. I feel like this album is a cross between maturity in songs and the immaturity in songs. And that'll, you know, I think when I think about the worst song, I think about the immaturity of the lyrics. And that actually is Shade. It's too on the nose. Like, if you need help, then go get help. If you need this, then do this. It's like, no, that's not the way things really are. It's not how the world works. And you don't understand that because you're a 15-year-old boy. So let's hear a little bit of Shade there, which is the worst song on this record. I love the music. The lyrics are awful.
Yeah, the music's good. So as I'm looking at it, okay, the lyrics are repetitive as well.
I'm so sorry.
But you could also take it. I'm looking at maybe a flip side because I'm going to stand up for it a little bit because I think it's still much better than Suicidal Dream. Like Suicidal Dream, I think, is also not so developed lyrically.
Yeah, you're true. That's right. So you're right.
But Shade, maybe it's something like somebody is telling them like, oh, why don't you just tell somebody? Like, you could take it that way.
I'm sorry. The song starts out, if you're hurt, you should tell someone.
No, but I'm saying, like
this is, again, something we teach, like, kindergartners. Okay, guys, if somebody hurts you, you need to tell someone. Tell a teacher.
But so I'm sticking up for it. It's like, when somebody says, oh, cheer up, it's not so bad. Like, maybe he's commenting, you know, he's like, it's sarcasm. Like, oh, if you're hurt, why don't you tell someone? Like, oh, well, if it was that easy, then we would all just tell somebody. So
well,
maybe
my
he's taking
question,
it.
Maybe know. This is too meta, but if you know that person is hurt and you're telling them to go tell someone, why don't you go and tell someone and that's help true. Them out?
Well, in today's time, you're the one holding the camera.
Oh, that's true. That there you go. High five right? across the room.
You know, somebody's getting hurt and you're the one just holding the camera because you
They're
have
being
to document
attacked.
It.
Let me document this. But, don't step in and help.
But so what I'm standing up for just because I think Suicidal Dream is still the worst song. Hiding in the Shade. Like, don't go hiding in the shade. Like, it's got some metaphor there. It's still not very developed beyond that.
You literally have the lyrics pulled up right in front of you and me.
He said, if you were abused, someone to help you.
I'll find someone to help you. Like, then go and do it. Don't write a song about it. Like, this is like, you know, the ones and twos of buckling our shoes. Like, I'm sorry. The music to this song of Shade is really good. It's actually good.
And he's screaming.
Musically,
and it's good vocals.
But the words are stupid.
I think the premise of Shade and hiding in the shade and using that as a metaphor is good. And it maybe could have been... should have been developed by the producer.
You look like you're actually getting really upset.
Well, because
Do we need to turn off the microphones and go at it for a second?
And we're back. blood everywhere.
I'm sorry.
No, yeah. So I'm looking at the lyrics. I go, okay, Ryan, I just don't want to admit, maybe you're a little right.
Y'all heard it here first, folks.
But I'm still right, and I'm still going to stick by Suicidal Dream. So I'm just trying to justify.
That's fine.
And I just because when I hear Shade, like, And I hear more of the hiding and shit. Like, yeah. Okay, that's fine.
I still listen to the song. I listen to this album all the way through. I don't skip anything. I do like this record.
So that's why, and I'll just stick with, because the music's strong, much that's strong fine. Here, I'll stick with Shade. Suicidal Dream is still, I'll fight you on
that's
that.
That's cool. You know, I talked about weeks ago about how I play certain like Send the Pain Below or something like that when I, Chevelle songs, when I put on the guitar, that's the first things I usually play are like simple riff songs that like help warm up my hands and stuff. Pure Massacre is one that I do all the time. You know, it's an easy song, drop D, you know, to warm up to and stuff like that. There's nothing really to it. I still think it's a cool, heavy song, though, but that's not my pick for the best song. I actually have to say, to me, the most mature song on this album is actually Fault Line. The storytelling in this song is actually really deep.
So it's an actual story. You know, it's yeah. not, it's an actual third person, not everything else is pretty much first yeah. person.
And it's kind of sad, but it's like, it's heavy and devastating. But I love the part, like when he, at the end of the chorus, when he starts hitting those ooh notes, he like goes into a falsetto. It's beautiful and tragic all at the same time. And that's what I love about it. The song starts off cool. It's got mm-hmm. a cool chorus. The lyrics actually mean something in this one. Yep. It's a good all around, like well-packaged song. To me, this is the best song. This surpasses Tomorrow because of the meaning actually in it. As you were saying before with yeah. Tomorrow, some of the words don't match up. Some of the ideas don't match up. This does. This is haunting and beautiful all at the same time. That's why Fault Line is the best song on this record.
You might be a little correct.
Oh, two for two!
But I think musically and as a bigger picture, I'll still stick with Tomorrow.
That's fine.
I think if anybody listens to it, yeah, Fault Line, it'd be nice if, yeah, the rest of the yeah. lyrics were closer to this one.
And I just want to take a moment to say to Daniel Johns and Ben Gillies and Chris, you know, that as a teenager, I would have given anything to have written this record.
Yeah.
And I you know, yes, I'm making fun of certain things now, but I still respect the crap out of this record. As a 40-year-old man, I still listen to it and enjoy it. I would have loved to have written all these songs. And I love the band Silverchair. It is one of my deepest regrets in my musical life that I never got to see these guys live, especially the Diorama tour. I would have given anything to see that tour. When I think about all the bands I've seen, the hundreds of shows I've been to, this is the one band that I would have given anything to go and see. So yeah, I'm poking fun at certain stuff, but I love this record. I love this album. I still spin it to this day. It's a great overall album. And I hope everybody out there goes and listens to everything Silverchair has done.
Yeah, I think this album stands as like an album too. Yeah. Like, you know, there's a few songs, of course, singles, but I think you can just put it on. It's got a certain vibe. It's got a certain sound yeah. to it that it just works well as an album. And I agree. Thanks to the band. Thanks. And I always check in on them to see like, oh, are they going to get back together? But I saw some
apparently
things.
They hate each other.
Yeah. Or maybe the Ben and what's the...
Ben and Chris ben apparently and Chris, are cool.
They're cool, but
Daniel's kind of gone off the deep end. Thing.
But then I saw Smashing Pumpkins were touring down there, and Billy Corgan and Daniel Johns took a picture together.
Did they?
I guess he came to their concert or you know, or something. So they posted something. I was like, oh, so I guess so he still likes rock and roll, maybe. Or they're just longtime friends, or that could be I don't know. So,
but some of the stuff that Daniel Johns has released in the past 10 years has been really, really bad.
It's just different.
It's
it's not Silverchair. So it's not our music. Somebody could love that and not like Silverchair.
I just think it's just, oh, man.
So everybody out there, let us know if you've ever heard this or any of the other Silverchair albums. I would go ahead and put money on us doing another Silverchair album in the future.
We're going to have to.
We'll have to. And let us know your picks for this album.
Totally. thank you so much, everybody out there. Please go out and support Silverchair and everything that they've ever done and recorded. Please also share this podcast with everybody that you think would enjoy it. We do appreciate it when you spread the word of us out there to your friends and coworkers, family members, things of that nature. Visit us at thealbumargument.com, where you can find our Spotify playlist and Linktree and all that other good, cool stuff. And just make sure that you support every artist we've ever covered.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Until next time, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeremy.
Deuces, we are out.